Quincy Jones was a mighty man. Now he's resting in the promised land. The kind of music you could understand was an eight-wheel driver under his command. He made the freight train boogie all the time. He made the freight train boogie as he rolled down the line.
In a world where a lot of people are called icons, Willie Nelson is the real deal. With his endless number of by now classic hits, including Nightlife, Hello Walls, Funny How Time Slips Away, and Crazy, he changed country music forever. Many lesser musicians would be resting on their laurels by now, but he's just come out with a new album on Rounder Records called Simply Country Music, and he'll be performing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Manhattan Center Grand Ballroom on West 34th Street. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Willie Nelson back to our show. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Country music was produced by T-Bone Burnett. Is this the first time you've worked with him?
Yeah, I've known him for many years. He comes from the same part of the country, from Texas, and I've known him by reputation, also met him several times. We played golf together, and we just decided one day that we'd make a record. And he went away, got some songs, and he brought all the songs to the session except for the one Nina Simone song that I brought, Nobody's Fault But Mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a different experience when you work with a different producer, or because in the end you're such an established performer, I would think that in the end he just simply would say, okay, whatever you do, Willie, that's great with me.
Well, no, when you have a producer of his caliber, if you're really smart, you'll let him do what he knows how to do. And that's, you know, he brought a list of wonderful songs, put together the best musicians possible for this particular type of songs, and we did it in Nashville at a great studio there, and it was one of the easiest records that I ever made.
Well, Nobody's Fault But Mine, I think, is a gospel record, a gospel song originally, but all the rest are country standards?
Right.
How did you choose? Oh, well, he chose these things. And when he gave you the list, did you say great because those are songs I've always liked?
Well, yeah, most of the songs on there I had heard, but there were a couple I hadn't heard. Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down, I'd never heard that song before. And there was a Bob Wills song in there that we did that I thought I knew all Bob Wills songs, but this was one I hadn't heard.
Rounder Records is promoting this as a bluegrass album. Do you think of it as bluegrass?
Well, I don't, but I could understand why it might be thought about as bluegrass by other people because it has a bluegrass sound, fiddles, mandolin.
And no drums.
And no drums, yeah.
The song that we're going to go into the break with a little later is Gotta Walk Alone by Weldon Alford and John Hathcock. I didn't know that one.
That's the Bob Wills song
that I
had never heard.
So was it just an obscure record by Bob Wills, or had it been a hit?
I don't think it had been a hit, but, of course, I don't know. T-Bone brought it to the session, and I had never heard it before.
Well, there are all these wonderful songs that are floating around. I suspect you wrote a couple that you thought should have been hits, but for some reason or another, they just never caught on.
Well, yeah, there are several of them.
But when you hear a song like this, I'm sure you wonder, well, why didn't that? Bob Wills had so many hits. Why didn't this one become a hit?
Yeah, and of course it may have been a hit. I don't know, but I just had never heard it.
Some of them, the songs that you sing were originally duets, like My Baby's Gone by the Lubin Brothers.
Lubin Brothers, yeah.
And Freight Train Boogie, which we opened with. That was the Delmore Brothers. Do you hear the harmony part in your head when you're singing the song?
Well, not really, but I guess I could if I thought about it. I'm not really thinking harmony when I'm singing it.
You're just singing the song.
I'm just singing the song, but I think Jimmy Lauderdale was a harmony singer singing with me on these, and he's an incredible singer, too, so it was easy to sing harmony with him.
Well, you must have known the Lubins when you were living in Nashville. Does that affect the way you relate to a song? I knew these guys.
Well, it has to. The Lubin Brothers were such a great duet. Their music, to me, was some of the finest harmony. And this song that we did, My Baby's Gone, is one of their classic songs. But Ira and Charlie Lubin, I just love that harmony.
And Charlie has been a guest on the show, one of the great thrills of my life. One song here, You Done Me Wrong, was written by Ray Price and George Jones. Wow, what a pairing. It's not the sort of writing team you might expect.
No, I'm surprised they ever, you know, got together long enough to write a song.
Because of the complications of their private lives.
Well, probably that, too. And it's just that their music is not that similar. But you wouldn't think. But this is a great song. It was a big hit for Ray Price.
And did you once play in Ray Price's band?
Yes, I did. Played bass.
It must have been incredible to tour with him and Merle Haggard recently.
Yeah. I still enjoy working with Ray Price and Merle. But, you know, Ray and I are old buddies from years and years ago. And it's always a pleasure to make music with him.
Tell us about the members of the band on this CD.
These are musicians out of Nashville that T-Bone, he's got a great phone book. He knew to call who to call to get them in there to get this sound, and I have to give him full credit for all of them. The bass player, upright bass player named Dennis Crouch, and Riley is the banjo player's name. Stewart was a fiddle player. I don't really remember all their last names. Chris Sharp played a guitar, but they were just wonderful musicians, and it was a treat to just look around the room whenever it's time to record and nod at this guy, knowing that whoever it was going to be a great course.
But is it weird playing without a drummer?
No, not necessarily. No, I you know, you got to have a good drummer. It's just like there's nothing worse than a bad drummer. But if you get a good drummer, that's great. But a lot of this music didn't call for that. It just wasn't in the original makeup of these songs to have a drum.
We're talking to Willie Nelson, whose most recent CD is called Country Music, and he'll also be performing tonight at the Manhattan Center Grand Ballroom on West 34th Street. Did you listen to a lot of different kinds of music when you were growing up, or was it mostly country music?
No, I listened to the radio and turned the dial a lot and listened to whatever they were playing. Grew up across the street from a Mexican family, so I was sort of indoctrinated with the Mexican music sound all my life, so I feel like there's a little bit of that in my music and my guitar playing somewhere.
And when you recorded standards, were they things that you'd grown up with as well?
Yeah. Songs like Stardust and Moonlight in Vermont. My sister plays keyboard, and she knew all these songs, so I sit there on the piano stool with her, and I'd learn to play them as she played them.
And what made you settle for going into country music then?
Well, it wasn't really a big decision. It was what I knew how to do, and it was second nature for me to sing Bob Wills and Hank Williams. So I started out doing that in Ernest Tubb songs, and Floyd Tillman was, you know, and Leon Payne, all these great writers that I learned music from as I was growing up.
Were you writing songs all along?
Yeah, I started out writing. When I first started writing, I was about 5 years old, writing poems, and then put melodies to them later.
So you weren't thinking of writing song lyrics. You were just thinking of things that. But were you putting melodies to them somewhere in the back of your head?
Well, the first few poems that I wrote, I didn't have a melody to them because I didn't play guitar. As I learned to play guitar, I put melodies to them, and. But there's a few back there that just poems.
You've written so many very famous songs by now. Do you have a certain feeling about the ones that go on to be hits? The reason I ask is because I've been at recording sessions where everything just seems to hit. Mm-hmm. And then everybody says, wow, this is going to be a big hit. And nothing happens, and then something else takes off.
Yeah, it's hard to figure. If we knew if we knew when it's going to be a hit, we could do fine. But there's a lot of great songs out there that never really made it. We were talking about that earlier today too. How it takes a combination of a lot of things to happen before you get a hit record. You got to have this company to produce it, and this guy to write it, this guy to sing it, a company over here to market it, distributor to make sure people can buy it. And a lot of times, if all those things don't work, you're not going to have a hit record.
And then there just seems to be times when you're hotter than others. I mean, didn't you write Crazy, Funny How Time Slips Away, and Nightlife all in 1 week?
Yes, I did. It was a good week.
What were you drinking that week?
The same old thing.
Not really. That's extraordinary. I mean, you must have had some sense that you were on a hot streak.
Well, I thought so, but you never know. Back in those days, I didn't know. I was just writing, and I hadn't had any hits to speak of back then. The first song that I wrote that was kind of a hit was Family Bible. I don't know if you remember that one or not, by Claude Gray.
So you were writing for other people initially?
Not really starting out to do that. It just happened that my songs were recorded by other people. And Patsy Klein did Crazy, Farron Young did Hello Walls, and Ray Price Nightlife. And
so when that happened, were people coming to you and saying, well, I mean, those are the three classics. Give us a song, too.
Sure. And I was writing for a company in Nashville, Pamper Music. Hank Cochran and I were writing together, and Ray Pennington and a bunch of folks. So we'd sit around and try to outdo each other, you know.
So this is kind of like what was happening in the Brill Building in New York?
Sort of. I guess same thing. Writers compete.
Were you frustrated because you wanted to sing the songs?
A little bit. But I knew that I could always go back to Texas and take up my career in the beer joints, you know, where I could sing and do whatever I wanted to do. But I hadn't really started selling records yet. But the songs were doing fine. I had some success as a writer, and I was living with that.
So when did the breakthrough come for you as a performer?
I recorded with Chet Atkins for, I think, 8 years on RCA, and we did a whole lot of songs, and some of them had one Touch Me, I think it was charted, I think it came number one, Party's Over, I think, but I didn't really have that much success until later on. I started recording with other producers.
Even though Chet Atkins is probably one of the most legendary producers in all of Nashville.
He is and was.
And produced an awful lot of hits.
Yeah, it just so happened that it just wasn't my time, you know. Roger Miller, you remember Roger?
Of course, the king of the road.
Yeah, he used to tell me that I was 20 minutes ahead of my time.
Well, Willie Nelson is here, and he'll be performing tonight at 7 o'clock. At the Manhattan Center Grand Ballroom at 311 West 34th Street. That's between 8th and 9th Avenues. For ticket information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. We'll be right back after some important announcements and a little bit of Willie Nelson.
I've got to walk alone. All the friends I knew by two and two have left me one by one. It's a long and lonesome road. I've got to walk alone. Don't know what... Well, you tell me that you care, and now you're gone, you got me crying. No use denying, you got me wrong. I could look inside your heart, and maybe I would know the reason why you are leaving me all alone. Well, you know it's not so when you say you tried. Well, you know you lied. I didn't do one wrong thing to you. Won't you tell me, baby, why you went away?
Willie Nelson from his latest CD called Country Music. He's with me now. By the way, he'll be performing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Manhattan Center Grand Ballroom at 311 West 34th Street. That's between 8th and 9th Avenues. And we talked earlier about there being no drummer on the CD. You don't need a drummer. I'm tapping my foot.
Yeah, and with, you know, these kind of musicians, a great rhythm guitar player and a bass player.
You've we mentioned the standards earlier. You've covered a lot of musical territory over the course of your career. Songs like Stardust, the blues on Milk Cow Blues, reggae on Country Man, jazz. You recorded with Wynton Marsalis on Two Men with the Blues, Western Swing, Willie and the Wheel. How do you decide what you want to do next? You just want to try a little bit of everything?
I just kind of, you know, kind of roll with it and see what's coming up. And if there's an opportunity to do something that sounds good, well, I'll go for it.
Are there things that you still haven't tried that you'd like to do?
Oh, I'm sure there are. I hope there are. I'm going to keep looking. I just did some songs with James Stroud that come out after this album, and we did a lot of things like Smoke, Smoke, Smoke That Cigarette, and This Old House, a Stuart Hamlin song, and some of the old country classics.
Are they ways of revitalizing yourself? Because you're looking at things from a new angle?
I'm just really enjoying singing and playing those songs. I'm not really thinking a lot about, is this going to be a huge hit or not, or is this going to work or not work, because I know they're good songs, because they were one-time hits, but I'm just doing them really because I love to sing them.
Are you still writing songs?
Occasionally I write, you know. I never was a volume writer.
Except that 1 week.
That 1 week was pretty good.
You've been, your sister Bobby has been with you for many, many years, hasn't she?
Yeah.
There's something musicians tell me really comforting in knowing just what chord you're going to get from a pianist. Is that something that you've come to with Bobby, or does she like to surprise you once in a while?
Not really. We've played together so much that it's just, you know, easy to play, sing, and when she's playing, and we just kind of play together pretty well.
Tell us about your guitar, Trigger. Were you a Roy Rogers fan when you were a kid?
Yes, I was, and Gene Autry and Roy Rogers. And
well, Gene Autry was more of a legitimate country singer, wasn't he, than Roy?
Oh, probably so. I don't know.
Because he started off in the old... He was kind of like a Hank Williams imitator in the earliest days, and he sang songs like Jake Leg Blues.
Well, I never heard those. I only heard the hits, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he was a good singer.
Mm-hmm. So were they among the influences when you were a kid?
Yes, they were. Gene Autry and Roy Rogers.
Because you could have called your guitar champion, couldn't you?
I could have.
was that Gene Autry's
horse? That was Gene Autry's horse. His name was Champion.
How long have you had Trigger?
About 40 years.
And did you know from the start that you wanted to give it that name?
No. I knew from the start that I loved the sound of that guitar, and I've never found one that I liked as well. No, I had no idea, but I knew that when I picked it up and played it for the first time that this was going to be my Trigger.
And it has this huge hole.
Yeah, it's a classical guitar, which is normally not played with a pick. So there's no pick guard. Mm-hmm. So over the years, I've worn a hole in there.
And it keeps on growing bigger and bigger?
It gets bigger and bigger every year.
And less space for you to have people sign it, but a lot of people have signed it.
A lot of people have. Leon Russell signed it first. He wanted me to sign his guitar one time, and I signed it and had a magic marker I was going to sign it with. And he said, no, I want you to scratch it in there with this ballpoint pen. So he scratched my name in his guitar. And I said, okay, why do you want me to do that? He said, well, it'll make it worth more money. I said, well, in that case, sign mine. So that's how I got my first signature.
And I think Trigger would be worth a lot of money even without those signatures.
Well, to me it is.
Why did you leave Nashville in the 1970s? That's where all the work was, wasn't it?
That was the store. That was where you took your merchandise to sell it, I guess. And I did that for a long time, lived in Nashville, wrote songs. Then my house burned one day. And I decided that I'd move back to Texas because I was working in Texas more than I was anyplace else.
You must be concerned by all the damage that the recent flooding has created. It even affected the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, yes. It's everything's underwater down there.
When did you first play the Grand Ole Opry? There was a time when you couldn't play it if you had drums on your records.
Yeah, that's true. Bob Wills, they didn't want to let him play the Grand Ole Opry because he had drums. But when I played it, I was a regular. And in order to be a regular on the opera, you had to be there 26 weeks out of the year. So that was fine, except when you, like me, I played Texas and Oklahoma and Louisiana a lot, so it was a long drive back on Saturday night to do the opera. So eventually I kind of drifted away.
The other side of the coin is that sometimes they wanted drums on things. Columbia balked when you wanted to record Redheaded Stranger with only a guitar and a piano.
Yeah.
What was their concern, that that fans wouldn't buy that record?
Probably so. I'm not really sure what their main concern was. I think their main concern was they didn't really think it was a complete record, because they're used to hearing so many instruments and voices and everything on everything that was being recorded in those days. So to have a record with just a guitar and a piano here and there and another guitar over here and not a lot of music, but it was the first concept album that I had written.
And there's always been something intimate about the way you sing. So I think that came across a lot on that album.
I think so. The songs like Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, it was very simple, just a guitar and voice mainly.
Willie Nelson is my guest. His latest album is called Country Music. We still call them albums. It's on Rounder Records. And he will also be performing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Manhattan Center Grand Ballroom at 311 West 34th Street between 8th and 9th Avenues. For more information about that, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. How did the whole outlaw movement start up?
I think that it started because they were looking for some sort of label to put on what people like me and Waylon and Chris and John were doing, because we decided to kind of go our own way and get away from the slick Nashville sound and use our own bands in the studios. And by insisting to do that, we picked up the term they label outlaw. I believe it was a lady in Nashville that wrote an article one time and called us outlaws that it got started.
Do you think getting away from that slick Nashville sound really helped your career? Because so many people have seemed constrained by George Jones, for example.
Yeah. Well, yeah, again, I think it depends on the artist. And in my case, it was better for me to use my own band, and because I could reproduce on the stage what I was doing in the studio. And the way I had been recording with a lot of strings and voices and everything, it was impossible to reproduce that.
Mm. You were friends with Waylon Jennings for a very long time. Do you have any funny stories to tell us? Or,
oh, you know,
Are those better not mentioned on
yeah, probably
a daytime show?
Waylon and I were the best of friends, and it was kind of like an old married couple, because we'd argue over this or that. And because we love to argue and like to push each other's buttons a lot, and really had a lot of fun doing that over the years.
How did you get involved with Farm Aid? I hear you took part in the Future Farmers of America organization when you were a kid. Didn't you also study agriculture?
I did, and I knew I worked in the fields, and I knew back in those days that the farmers didn't make a lot of money. But then later on, I was talking to some of my farmer friends in Texas, and they were saying that things are really going bad, especially in the Midwest. The farmers were going out of business and losing their farms, and for reasons that we didn't know about. And as I checked into it, I found out that the reason that they were losing their farms is because they weren't making enough money on their crops, and the big corporations were trying to run them out. They had decided that bigger is better, so get rid of the small guys and let us big guys do it, and you know how that turned out.
Well, right now, the movement seems to be in the opposite direction, at least in areas like the Hudson Valley, where the small farmers are experiencing a resurgence.
Yeah, and I think that's true in a lot of places, and it's going to happen more and more as we become more and more dependent upon our farmers to grow us out of our economic depression that we're in.
Also, more and more people are concerned about the kind of food they're eating, and the corporate farming seemed to be producing stuff that didn't have as much nutritional value.
This is true. Yeah, this is true. People are more concerned about what they eat these days than they used to be. And so this is good for the small family farmer.
If you hadn't started writing all of those hit songs, do you think you might have become a farmer?
Probably, yeah. Probably so.
You also farmed Willie Nelson Biodiesel. What's that?
It's a product, a fuel made from vegetable oil, and it can be used to operate diesel engines, trucks, tractors, etc. And I think it's the next big thing in fuel because it will help us from being so dependent on foreign oil. We can grow our own fuel and food.
And I'm assuming it's less polluting and it won't destroy the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
What got you into acting? Do you like being in films?
Yeah, and of course I grew up with Gene Autry, Roy Rogers guy, so I always wanted to see if one day if I could be one of those singing cowboys. And
did you have a friend named Gabby Hayes, or was it Fuzzy Levain?
I got some Gabby friends. No, I just really loved that kind of stories. You know, we'd go to the every Saturday. We'd go to see the cowboy movies, and it was a big thing to us. And I wanted to do that. So whenever I had a chance to go be in a movie, I jumped at it.
Well, not everybody can act. Did it come pretty naturally to you?
As long as I was doing things that, you know, it didn't require acting.
I see. Because I've spoken to a number of actors who sang rather well, and they said, well, it grows out of the acting. And I wonder if it works the other way, because you've thought a lot about how to interpret a song and make the words come alive. Maybe the same thing applies when you're just delivering lines in a script.
I did use whatever knowledge I have about making music in when I was doing a scene. I would, in my own mind, I would put a rhythm to that scene and a rhythm to the lines that I was doing, and it seemed to make it easier.
I'm curious about how you explain your longevity. A lot of performers have told me that after a while they just hate going out on the road and they don't want to do it anymore. And you're still out there touring.
Oh, I still like it. I still enjoy, you know, people showing up to hear us play. And we've still got a good band.
So it's just a matter of doing the thing you like to do.
Doing what I like to do.
Unlike a ball player, you don't lose your chops or your skills after you reach a certain age.
Not necessarily. And as long as we can do it and are having fun doing it and people come see us do it, you know, why quit?
So who are you going to be playing with tonight at the concert?
Well, my son will be opening with his band, and then I'll be playing with the band that I just recorded the country music album with.
So you'll be performing most of the things on the CD?
I'm hoping we'll get to do them all on tonight when we get out there.
Well, you have been known to be rather generous during performances. some people come on, they do four or five songs and go, but you do whole albums.
I'll do the whole album and probably more than that because I've worked with these guys before and they know my songs too, so I can do a little of my regular stuff in there along with the new record.
Do you ever get tired of singing one of the great old hits?
No.
Is it always new for you?
Well, the way I do it, it is. When I forgot how I did it last time.
Thank you so much for being with us, Willie Nelson.
My pleasure.
How many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I could do things my way? But little they know that it's so hard to find one rich man in ten. Satisfied mind.